Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Good morning, everyone. I titled today's message, Doing Good. Let's begin with a word of prayer. O loving Father, Lord, you have set before us good works, that we should walk in them. Lord, our prayer is that you would help us to do that very thing. We can't do it on our own. There's nothing within us. There's no goodness. Lord, we need you. And our prayer today, Lord, is that your Holy Spirit would stir upon our hearts those things that you would have us do. We pray for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week I began to share with you my personal journey and how the Lord is working in my life. And I showed you how we got from San Diego, California to Alpena, Michigan. But today I'd like to go back and fill in some of the story. I said that when I first gave my heart to the Lord, that I couldn't put the Word of God down. I kept studying and growing. And I had a guy who worked for me in my company. His name was Aaron, but we called him Sonny. And Sonny was a Christian. And Sonny had tried to talk to me about the things of God, and I wasn't willing to listen. I pushed him away. I said, I don't want to hear that. But now I needed Sonny. And I had a job that we had to do in Utah, and I needed to get a bunch of material, supplies, and some workers to Utah. And normally I would go on a big job like that, I would go and I would take one person with me and take all the material, and it would typically be my head foreman. But I decided this time that I was going to take Sonny with me because I wanted to talk to him about God. And so we left California and we didn't get very far before I started talking to Sonny and told him about my dream. And when I got through that, Sonny was surprised. He said, I don't know what to think about all of this, but I'll tell you what I do know. You need Jesus. And Sonny and I talked all the way to Utah, all the time that we were there, and all the way back. When we got back, Sonny began to feed me everything that he had, he gave to me, whether it was books or cassette tapes or anything like that. There were several times that Sonny would give me a whole stack of cassette tapes and I would take them home and then the next day I'd give them back to him. He'd say, I thought you wanted to listen to those. I said, no, I did last night. And pretty soon Sonny said, dude, you have tapped me out. You have got to get your own stuff. You have your Bibles still open to 2 Thessalonians, I hope. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I'd like you to notice what the Word of God says starting in verse 13. The Apostle Paul said to the Thessalonians, he's saying to us, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. You believe that? God chose me, God chose you for salvation. Verse 14, to which He called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, do what? Stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by the word or our epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every what? Every good word and in every good work. God has designed for you to do good works. God has predestined those good works and we are to walk in those good works. Amen? And Sonny began to feed me And pretty soon he gave me everything he had, and he said, "Dude, you just got to go buy your own stuff." I said, "Well, I don't even know where to go. What do I do?" So he showed me, and I began to purchase other stuff and began reading other books and began to grow in the Lord and began to walk in good works. We got involved in our church. We were in a new believer's Bible study at the church. We got involved in a home fellowship, which was unbeknownst to us, right on the same street that we lived in. There were people that would come to that Bible study there during the week. And we began to grow. And I don't know when it was, but somewhere along my growth journey, I felt impressed to put our house up for sale. Now, let me just give you a little bit of background in this house. When I began my business, we had purchased a small house, knowing that when our children got bigger, we were going to have to add on to it. And we started doing that. We took and hired a contractor. They took the roof off. They put a second floor on. They put the trusses on. And then the contractor disappeared. And I could not afford to hire a second contractor to come in and finish the house and remain in some temporary housing that we had while all this construction was going on. And so I began to do that work myself while building a business, while raising four children. So those of you who have a busy life, you understand what I mean. And I began to work on this house and get involved in the church. And one day, a guy came over and he said, "I'm a plumber. Why don't you let me help plumb your house?" I said, "Praise God. I need a plumber. And I can't afford one." And he said, "Well, I just want you to know up front, I don't like you very much." He was a neighbor of mine, and he knew me. I didn't know him, but I had a reputation, apparently, in our neighborhood as not a very nice person. And he said, "But I heard that God got a hold of you, and I want you to know that I love the Lord, and I'm here to help." And he helped me to do that, and he helped me do some other stuff, and eventually we got the house finished. And now I'm living in my 5-bedroom, 3-bath, beautiful home. It's practically all brand new, and I start feeling impressed to put the house up for sale. And I thought, this is crazy. This is me, right? Why would I even be thinking this? This is my castle. I built this. I plan on living the rest of my life in this house. And so I didn't say anything at all until one day when Sabrina, just in passing, said something about, "I think we should put the house up for sale." And I said, "Hold on a second. Are you telling me that you think that this is of the Lord, or this is just you speaking?" And she said, "Well, I'm not sure." And so we prayed about it. And we said, "Lord, if this is you, then we need you to impress upon our hearts that this is what we need to do. We need to find a Christian realtor and put the house up, and we'll sell it." And after that prayer, we felt that it was of the Lord. And so we found a Christian realtor, and we hired them to sell the house. And the day that the house went up for sale, there were two other houses on our block that went up for sale as well. One sold that day, and the other one sold in a week. But those houses were only half as big as ours. And we didn't think anything about it. Several months went by, and not one single person came to look at the house. Well, unbeknownst to me, I didn't even know that they did this, but the realtor, when they came in to review everything in our house, they actually had a camera, and they went through and they did what was called a virtual tour. So you could go online and you could look at the house without even coming to the house. And I didn't know that. But not one single person came to the house. Several months. Then another several months went by and nothing happened until one day I was working and I got a call from the realtor. And the realtor said, "We have some people that are interested in your house." The same time that all of this was going on, this building of the house and working in that direction, all of a sudden I had all of this love for people that I didn't have before. And my business partners and I, we were never really close friends. But we worked well together. And the older gentleman, I didn't realize it at the time, but he really didn't like me. And as I look back at my life and the kind of person that I was before, understandably so. He was not a nice person. But when I gave my heart to the Lord, and now all of a sudden I had all of this love for people that I didn't have before, now all of a sudden it just seemed like he hated me. And so I started having problems with my partner. And no matter how I tried to love him, it seemed like the more I loved him, the madder he got. And he just got to the point where he couldn't stand me. And so I went to the other Christian partner who was a Christian, and I said to him, "We need to buy him out." Because I had been reading my Bible, I'd learned a few things. And I learned that we were unequally yoked. The two of us were Christians and the other one wasn't. Did I tell you this part of the story last week? Did I? And so you heard the story how we went to the attorney and I ended up asking them to buy me out. All of this was all going on at the same time. And so the day that I got that call from the realtor, he said to me, "We have some people that are interested in your house." And I said, "Praise the Lord. Did they make an offer to you?" And he said, "No, you don't understand. We have three families that are interested in your house, and we're having a bidding war, and the price is going up." And I said, "You have got to be kidding me." He said, "No, I have been in the real estate business for, I don't remember how many years, 20-some years that he told me. He said, "I've never seen anything like this before." I said, "Well, praise God. This has to be of God." And so I went home, and I told Sabrina about it. And we talked about what are we going to do. Because when the house was for sale over those months, we talked about, were we going to buy another house? Were we going to rent for a while? Were we going to move out into the country, get out of the city, those kinds of things. We had our own ideas of what we wanted to do. And she said, "I think the Lord wants us to move to Alpena." And so we started making plans for that. And in order to do that, we had to divide the work. And the day that we went into escrow, finally one family dropped out, then another, and then we had an offer for more than we were asking. And the day that we went into escrow, the Lord spoke to me and said, "I want you to move to Alpena." I spent that whole day trying to figure out, first of all, I was excited. I was very excited because I grew up in Alpena. My family was there. When I was 18 years old, I left home. I was very bitter and very angry with my dad. He was the most wonderful, amazing, kind man on the planet until he started drinking alcohol. And then he was incredibly mean. And when I left home, I was very bitter and very angry. But now I had given my heart to the Lord. Now I had all of this love that I didn't have before, and now I was going to get to repair that relationship with my dad. At the same time, all of a sudden I realized, hold on, Sabrina's family is all in San Diego where we were. And the only time that we would go to Alpena was in August because it was the only time warm enough. And so I said, how in the world am I going to convince her that this is of God? And so I spent the whole day literally wearing myself out trying to figure out how I was going to convince her that this was of God. I couldn't do it. I literally gave up. At the end of the day, I finally just said, Lord, I don't know, I can't do this. I'm just going to go home and tell her, and whatever happens, happens. And so I got home, and three of our children were already moved out of the house. The youngest was still there. She was in bed. And Sabrina and I sat down, and I said, what do you want to do? Do you want to move out to the country? You know how mothers are, right? Well, the kids need this, the kids need that. And finally, I looked her right in the eye, and I said, no, what do you want to do? And she said, I think God wants us to move to Alpena. I said, you have got to be kidding me. I literally wore myself out today, and God already had it settled. I think that's a very valuable lesson to us, brothers and sisters, when we're trying to do things in our own power, in our own capacity, our own ability, and God's already got it planned out. God already had it worked out. All I had to do is walk in that and allow Him to do that. And so we started making plans. We divided the workload up. She had four things to do. I had one. That's fair, right? We had our young daughter still living at home with us. That was the end of July, August, early August, and school was starting in August in Alpena, Michigan, and we had to get our daughter enrolled in school. And so Sabrina was going to take our youngest daughter, move to Alpena. She was going to get her enrolled in school. She was going to try and find a job. She was going to find us a church and buy us a house. As I was trying to work out how I was going to tell Sabrina that this was of God and we needed to move to Alpena, it finally dawned on me, hold on a minute, Lord, there are no jobs in Alpena. That's why I left when I was 18. There was no work there. But this time, the Lord took me into His Word. Hold your place here in 2 Thessalonians. We're coming back, but turn with me to Hebrews 11. And the Lord brought me to this verse. Hebrews 11, and look at verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So this time, rather than speaking to me and telling me something, the Lord just took me into His Word and showed me that we just needed to take a step of faith. Yeah, I understand there are no jobs in Alpena, but I'm going to take care of you. You just need to take a step of faith, and I'll make it all work out. And so we said, okay, Lord, we're going to move without a job. And you heard me say it, buy a house. You see, brothers and sisters, Sabrina and I, we serve a great big God. And if He was going to have us take a step of faith and move there without a job, then we were going to buy a house knowing, trusting, believing that He was going to provide the job to pay for it. And while I was still working in Southern California, I had enough income that we could qualify for that house. And so that was her job, and my job was to stay in Southern California and finish the sale of our house, pack up all of our household goods, and we were going to time it out perfectly so that the day that she closed escrow on the house would be the day that I would arrive with all of our household goods. And it worked out. The day that I arrived, I drove up the driveway, and there were all kinds of cars in the driveway or by the house. My whole family had come to help us move in. My whole family is my mom and dad, my brother, and his wife, my two sisters, and their husbands. They were all there. As we're unpacking and taking stuff into the house, all of a sudden I realized, hey, where's Dad? Mom said, he wasn't feeling well today, so he didn't come. And so, okay. While Sabrina was there looking to buy a house and trying to find a job, she couldn't find a job. She was looking at churches. She was church shopping. She was going to different churches. And one day she called me up and said, yeah, I went to this church, and I don't think that's the right church. Something was missing. And I said, what could possibly be missing from church? And she said, well, I think God was missing. I said, whoa, I guess you better keep looking. Well, then there was a day that she called up and she was very excited. She said, I think I found the church, but you're not going to like it. I said, what do you mean? Why? What is there not to like about a church? She said, well, it's a little bit smaller than our church in San Diego. I said, well, our church in San Diego had 3,000 people. What's a little bit smaller? She said, they have 12. And oh, by the way, they don't have a pastor. They need you. And I'll be honest with you, what I thought was, I hope she changes her mind before I get there. But now I arrived with all of our household goods. We got everything moved in. And I went to that church with her. And I don't know how I knew. But I'll tell you, I just knew that that was the right church. Even though they didn't have a pastor. Even though I felt, even as a new Christian, I was a 2 or 3 year old Christian by this point. And to me, there were two guys that were kind of sharing the responsibility of preaching. And to me, it was less than skimmed milk. It was watered down milk. And I was looking for meat. And so finally, after a couple of months, maybe 6 to 8 weeks, I finally went to the one guy who seemed to be more in charge, and I said, why don't you let me speak? And he said, really? And I'm thinking in my own mind, I'm thinking, yeah, I don't think I can do any worse. But he said, okay, well, we'll talk about it, and I'll let you know. I said, okay. So we get moved into our house, and the following day, I went over to visit my dad. And even though my mom said he wasn't feeling well or he was sick, he looked perfectly normal to me. And over the next month and a half, 2 months, I was at my parents' house every day. I was visiting with my dad. And my dad was an outdoorsman. I grew up hunting and fishing and doing everything outdoor. And my dad loved to do that thing, and yet he wasn't doing that. And finally, after several months of going over to his house every day, and I had resumes that I was putting out, but I'll tell you, the telecommunication industry is not very active in Alpena, Michigan. Not like it was in San Diego. And I had all my resumes out. I got one call from a guy who owned his own company. And he said, yeah, I got your resume here. I'm looking at it, and it's pretty impressive. He said, I was just wondering, are you thinking of starting your own business? And I said, no, I've been there and done that. I'm not interested at all. He said, oh, well, I was hoping you were because I was thinking you could hire me. And I'm like, no, that's the only phone call that I got. So every day I'm at my parents' house, and after about 2 months of being there every day and looking at my dad, and he looks perfectly fine, and finally I got upset. And I went home one day, and I decided that the next day I was going to go back to my parents' house, I was going to chew my dad out and say, let's get up and let's just go do something. Let's go outside. Let's go for a drive. Let's just see if we can find some deer or something. And the following morning, early in the morning, my mom called and said, your dad's in the hospital. And so I started going to visit my dad at the hospital. And I don't know how long it was. He was in the hospital about a week, maybe two. And then all of a sudden, you could start seeing in his face that something was wrong. And I said to my mom, "We need to talk to him about Jesus." And every single day, all day long, for several weeks, I'm talking to my dad about the fact that he needs to get right with God. And it's kind of funny. My dad is 6'2", very strong, muscular man. He only had a third grade education, worked outside his whole life, manual labor, strong man. And my mom was almost 5'. And one day my dad got so angry at us, using some very colorful language, he said, "Get out of here and just leave me alone and let me die in peace." And I praised God for my mother, who looked at him and said, "No, we're not leaving. You need to hear this. You've been telling me that your whole life." And we just kept on working at and working at and working at, telling him he needed to get right with Jesus. Every time he had a complaint about something, we would go and try and resolve that and work through it and then go to something else. Look at your scripture reading again. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. "But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good." After several weeks of pleading with my dad, with him getting incredibly angry at me, and here I have all of this love, all I want to do is share with him the opportunity for eternity, and he's just mad at me. And finally, one day, I just had enough. I said, "That's it. I am not going back and talking to him about it. I'm not going to go early in the morning. I'm not going to spend the whole day at the hospital. I'm just going to get up and take my time, and I'll eventually work my way to the hospital." The following morning, at 6:00 in the morning, the phone rang. It was my older sister, Barb. And she said, "Dad wants to talk to you." And I said, "Will you tell him that I'm going to take a shower and I'm going to get dressed and I'm going to eat some breakfast and I might read the paper and sometime I'll be over there to talk to him." By this time, my dad was going in and out of consciousness. The doctors had told him years earlier that if he didn't quit drinking, that he would kill himself. He had quit drinking, but the damage was already done. His liver was giving out. And then my sister said to me, "Well, something very strange happened." She said, "He woke up and he looked at me and he said, 'Go get the preacher.'" She said, "I didn't know what to say. I had never heard him talk like that before." Finally, she said to him, "Do you want me to go get a priest?" And he said, "No." He said, "Go get Rod. Tell him I'm ready to go to the other side." I said, "You tell him I'll be there in 7 minutes. Because that's how long it would have taken me to get there." That week, the guy from the church had come to me and said, "We talked about it, we're going to have you preach, and it'll be in a couple of weeks." It was earlier on. I said, "Okay." So I went to the hospital that morning. I got there in 7 minutes. And my dad was unconscious. I spent the whole day and the whole night there. And the next morning he died. Never regained his consciousness. And I was devastated. Because just at the point when he was ready to make that decision, ready to give his heart to the Lord, I wasn't there when he needed me. And I was broken. I was so upset that I left the hospital and went home. And when I got home, I remembered I'd left my wife at the hospital. But my mom and my sister were there, and they decided to go to the funeral home and make arrangements. They took Sabrina with them. And I went back to, I went into town and to the funeral home and picked her up. I was so upset, I didn't know how to deal with this. But you know, God is gracious. And God is good. The following day, my younger sister, Joan, came to me and she said, "Hold out your hand." And I held out my hand and she placed in my hand a mustard seed. And she walked away. She didn't say a word. But I looked at that mustard seed and I remembered what Jesus said. That's the kind of faith that we are to have. Brothers and sisters, my point to you this morning is you don't want to ever have to get to that place. Do not grow weary in doing good. Don't give up like I did. Yes, today the Lord gave me peace. I have hope that perhaps He made that decision without me. I didn't need to be there. The Lord gave me that. But the reality is, I just don't know yet. And you don't ever want to be that person who gave up on somebody, who grew weary in doing good. My advice to you is keep going. Don't stop. Don't give up. At my dad's funeral, my cousin came up to me afterwards and asked me what I was doing, where I was working. And I said, "I'm not. I'm looking for work." She said, "Well, you should talk to my husband. He works out at the airbase." I said, "The airbase? I lived in Alpena for 18 years. I knew that airbase was there. But I didn't know there was work opportunities there. I just thought that the soldiers would come in and do their training on the weekend and then they would leave and go home and lock the gate. Come to find out, there's an entire city back there." And so I said to her, "Well, that's interesting. What does your husband do?" She said, "He's in communications." I said, "You're kidding." "No." So I went and talked to her husband, and he said, "Yeah, I'll introduce you to my boss." And I talked to them, and they said, "Yeah, we'll hire you, but you got to join the National Guard." I said, "Well, I wasn't planning on that, but okay." So I joined the National Guard. It took another 6 months before I started working. I had to go through all kinds of stuff, and I had a plate and some screws in my arm, and I had to get a waiver for that. It took a long time. But God provided for us to pay for that house. That was a great job for Alpena. And He waited until the last minute. 9 months it took before we started working, just to the point when we were out of money. And we were praying and saying, "Lord, this is it. You got to pay for this, or next month we're done. We can't make another payment on our savings." And so I started working, and I told you the part about how I started getting those reports from creditors. But the following week after my dad died, the following Sunday, Sabrina and I were on our way to church. And I was fine, I was driving, until we pulled into the parking lot of the church. and all of a sudden I broke down. I was sobbing uncontrollably. I couldn't stop myself. And God bless a godly wife who just sat there with me and held my hand. Didn't say a word. There was nothing that she could have said to comfort me. Finally, I said to her, "You go inside. I'll just need to collect myself and I'll be in a minute." And she did, and I finally got it together, and I walked up to the steps, and I walked up into the church, and one of the guys met me at the door, and he said to me, "Sabrina told us what happened to your dad. Don't worry, you don't have to speak today." You see, brothers and sisters, that day was the day that I was supposed to preach my first sermon. And yet my dad, days earlier, called me the preacher. I don't know what he heard. I don't know what he saw. But it gives me hope. It gives me hope. Brothers and sisters, don't stop doing good. God has work planned for you, and you don't want to be that person who has to wonder, did that person ever give their heart to Jesus? Is that the desire of your heart? Do you want to be able to keep going? Don't give up. Perhaps you've got a family member, a mom or a dad, a husband, a wife, children who don't know Jesus. Don't give up. Keep going. Keep working with them. Keep praying for them. Is that the desire of your heart? Do you want to be able to reach them for Jesus? If it is, would you pray with me now? Oh, loving Father, I thank you so much for your kindness, your mercy, and your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that you never give up on us. You have a plan greater than we have. And Lord, when it seems like the answer is always no, when it seems like there's no change, when it seems like no one is listening, Lord, help us to not grow weary in doing good. Help us to keep going. Help us to keep fighting. Help us to never give up. Because Lord, you are able to save to the uttermost. And Lord, for everyone that's here, there may be someone in their life that they're getting tired. They're growing weary. They're not seeing any changes in that husband, that wife, that child, that brother, sister, whoever they've been working with, friend. Lord, give them new energy. Give them a new drive, a new strength to keep going. To keep fighting, to never give up. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you are a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.